All right, good evening. Good to see you this evening. I'm glad you're here. You know, it's, I realized some time back that it takes special people to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday night. It does. And I appreciate those that makes this special effort to be here. We're just going to have an old-fashioned Bible study tonight. It's what we're going to have. May turn into something else, who knows. But anyhow, have your Bibles turn to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms 51. While you're finding your place there, again, I appreciate Brother Tommy allowing me to be here and to be able to try to teach, preach, whatever the Lord allows tonight. I'm going to get rid of this coat if you don't mind. That's all right, Brother Darrell, that'll be fine. I can get it if I get cold. But anyhow, tonight, you know, the Bible gives us an account of the model prayer that we can go to and kind of gives us a little understanding of how we need to go to God in that. But I was thinking about Psalms chapter 51 and also the relating chapter to that is chapter 32 as well. We'll touch that just a little bit as time allows us. I'm not going to read the verses prior to it, give you a little introduction tonight. But anyhow, the Bible is nowhere in the Bible that it is the danger of falling into sin more powerful and portrayed in Psalms chapter 51. You know, we hear a lot about David, about what went on in his life there. And Brother Tommy touched a lot of it 2 weeks ago Sunday. He talked about the sin of David, and everybody knows the sin of David, that how David relaxed on his rooftop. The Bible said before then in Samuel there that when kings go forth to battle, said that David stayed home. Well, you know, folks, listen. A lot of folks look at David and they say, well, you know, when this took place that all of a sudden David fell into sin, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that in anybody's life as far as that goes. But what happens is an individual, regardless of who they are, what it is, but sin is something that gradually comes on. The first sin that David committed was the fact that he didn't go into battle, because when he was commissioned or as he was ordained into being the king, one of his promises was that he was going to be a servant to the people. And a servant to the people is to be go with these people to battle. So the first sin that he actually committed was he didn't go into battle like he was supposed to. But anyhow, you know the story about he relaxed on the rooftop, and when kings go forth to battle, he was supposed to have been there. Beautiful woman, Bathsheba, there he looked and lusted and sinned. And David panicked after that, after Bathsheba, after they had, she was found with child, and realized that he had to do something. And what he had to do was he had to try to find, try to get Uriah to come in and to be able to lie with his wife so that he could lay this thing on this child on him, that he came home with his wife, to his wife. Of course, Uriah wouldn't have anything to do with that. And but anyhow, it goes on as all attempts were made. It ended up that David ended up committing adultery, number one, and murder, number two. You saw those are heinous things to take place. Well, 2 Samuel chapter 11 gives the account of the whole story. We'll have time to go into that tonight. But for nearly one year from the time that David committed this awful atrocity and this sin, 1 year David fought with this thing, wrestled with it day and night. And the scriptures will bear this out. But these are some of the greatest scriptures that I know. You know, the Bible tells us we'll confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in the heart. The Bible said thou shalt be saved. But no, the Bible said if we'll confess and, you know, forsake our sin, the Bible said that God will forgive us of our sins. And that's for the child of God. That's for you and I. And we do that so often, but I think it goes deeper. I think it goes more in depth than that. You know, the Bible tells us so many times that God deals with the heart. The Bible says if we will confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus, believing in the heart, the Bible said thou shalt be saved. God deals with the heart. And I believe that's how God deals with an individual when they commit sin, go into sin, regardless of what sin. You say big sin, little sin, all is sin, folks. All severs the relationship between you and God. Everything. And until that's reunited, until that's made right, you're estranged from God. That's just the bottom line of it. But for 1 year, can you imagine what David went through? There's been times in my life. I know there's probably been times in your life. Hopefully not. Sin came into your life, and you severed that relationship between you and God. And I'm telling you, that's some of the awfulest times in my life I've ever had. Knowing that there's no peace, no joy, and I lost all of that. But David goes into all of this. But let me tell you the legacy that David left behind there in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 5. This was part of his legacy because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Sounds good, doesn't it? Did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he had commanded him all the days of his life. Real good so far. Save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That's what David, listen, you can do good all your life, sin, turn away from God, and that's going to be a black mark on your life the rest of your life. That's what's happened to David. Most people, when you mention David, they may think of David and Goliath, but most of them think about Bathsheba. And that's what happens in our life. If something goes wrong in our lives and we fall from grace, that's what takes place. In Psalms 32, we'll turn to that here in just a moment, talks about his sin. Psalms 51, David made God two promises. Now, y'all notice I'm taking my watch off. It won't stand up here. I just might as well throw it away. Won't be able to use it. Well, it hadn't yet. He made him two promises. One of them there in verse 13 there, and we'll see this again just in a moment, there in Psalms 51. David made the promise that he said that I will teach transgressors their ways. David had come to his sense, and there's a methodical way that you and I, as a child of God, rather than just confess our sins, I think there's a right and the wrong way to go about this, is what I'm trying to tell you. And David gives a methodical way about doing this in Psalms chapter 51. If we don't have time to finish all this tonight, you go look at this and read it and look what David did. And it's a wonderful, wonderful example. But he said, I'll teach transgressors their ways, sinners shall be converted unto thee. And secondly, he said, I'll praise God for his boundless mercy. And in verse 14, he said, deliver me from blood guiltless, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O God, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. But David, you know, the thing is we look, and Romans tells us in chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetimes were written for our learning. That's the reason I'm looking at Psalms 51 tonight. They were done for our learning. They were put out there for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope that God would forgive and we can be turned back to where we need to be. But firstly, looking at verse 1 there, this is what David did when he committed his grievous sin. He cried out to God for mercy and compassion. Folks, I don't know where you and I would be. I really do tonight, where we would be tonight if it wasn't for mercy and compassion that God has bestowed upon us and so freely gives us, so forgiving. If I, many times, things that I hear and things that takes place my life and other folks' life, I would deal more harshly than what God does and God has ever dealt. But in verse 1 there, the Bible says, he said, "Have mercy upon me, God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David was getting down to business. Listen, the thing that you notice in this right here that so prevalent in the average individual's life is that David offered no excuse whatsoever. No excuse. Let me tell you something. When you know the King of Glory, the one that hung the moon, stars, and all that in space, you realize that he knows everything. And there's nothing that you can get by with that you think you can. God knows it all. But David realized that, and David made no excuses. He flung himself upon the mercy of the Lord. And he said, according to thy loving kindness is God's unfailing, is his unfailing and steadfast love is what he has there. David said, "I've transgressed, I've willfully rebelled against you, Lord. Please forgive me," is what he's saying there in that verse 1 there. Verse 2, the Bible said, he said, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin." David, iniquity, the root word for iniquity is bent or twisted. When we get in a situation in our lives there, and I hope you don't, but when an individual gets in a place in their life that when they've committed iniquities in their heart, that David is talking about there, he says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." You know, our minds and our hearts are twisted and they're bent. That's what that root word means of that. The depravity of the human nature as comes forth there. The Bible says that you and I come forth from our mother's womb speaking lies. Listen, folks, there's not but one way out, and that's the Lord. Verse 2, he says, "Wash me," is a ceremonial washing of the priests before they came to the Lord. When the priest came before the Lord there, and they was going to sacrifice the various things there that they did, I'm going to tell you, one of the most important things in their life was that they were clean. If they were not clean, I'm telling you, that's the reason that they hung bells on the bottom of their robes and they put a rope around their leg, because no one with sin went behind the Holy of Holies. But that's what he's talking about there when he says, "Wash me." It's that ceremonial washing that he's talking about there. He said, "From my sin," he's saying, "Lord, I've missed the mark." When an individual falls from grace there, they've missed the mark. They've totally annihilated themselves from the Lord. And the only way to get back is what David is talking about there. Verse 3, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sins is ever before me." You know, many times as individuals, you and I, we're not very, very careful. Or if you listen to someone else that has committed some type of sin, I'm not talking about murder or adultery, anything of that nature, just something that they've got caught in, most of the time, have you ever noticed, most of the time it's somebody else's fault. Somebody else, Lord, they're the one that caused me to do that. You know, Lord, you know I wouldn't have done that. There's no way I'd have ever done that, Lord. Lord, I love you. You know, it's not my fault, Lord. But, you know, we're always accusing others. But listen, David, he fully acknowledged his transgressions. He said, "Lord, I'm guilty. I know that you know my heart." The Bible said he knows our down sittings and our uprisings. He said he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Listen, he knows what I did yesterday and the day before and the day before, and he'll know what I'll do tomorrow and the next day. And if I live another 10 years, he knows everything that I'm ever going to do. God knows my down sittings, my uprisings, and he does yours. There's nothing we can get by with, folks, that, you know, God don't know any, that, but what he don't know anything about. He had to cast himself on the Lord's mercy is what he did. And folks, when it comes down to that, listen, you can't help me if I've sinned. You can pray for me. But the only one that can help me is the Lord. He's the one that paid the price. He's the one that's You know, he's the one you got to go to. He's the one you're going to stand before and give an account that you've, the things you've done in the body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. God's the one you got to satisfy. Not me, not your brother, not your sister, but it's the Lord. Verse 4 there, the Bible says there that against thee and thee alone have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. He said, against thee and thee alone. I really and truly believe David was a little bit delusional when he said that. If I commit a sin, there's never a sin that I'll ever commit that it doesn't affect just me, or doesn't just, it's not between me and the Lord. I know what he's saying. He's saying, right now, Lord, this is between me and you, is what he's saying. He said, this sin's against you right now, Lord. But listen, if you'll think about it, it was against others, like Uriah the Hittite. He sinned against him. He sinned against the nation of Israel. He sinned against Judah. He sinned against Bathsheba. He sinned against all of those servants that he had when he sent Uriah the Hittite into the hottest battle there, when there was men that lost their lives. He sinned against them. That's the reason I said that he didn't just sin against God. He sinned against a lot of people. He sinned against his own family. Listen how it affected his, you know how it affected his whole family for years after that. The sword never departed from David after he committed this sin that he did. But he was ready to accept the judgment under the laws of Israel. You realize under the laws of Israel, David had committed adultery. He had committed murder. You realize under the laws of Israel that the laws he had broken was punishable only by death. Punishable by death. And David knew where he was at. He knew the situation that he was in. And it reminded me of those that's on death row in different places such as that. When it comes down to more truth-telling and pleading, they know how to do it then. And that's kind of where David was at in this situation right here. He was down where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And he was confessing it all, making sure that he covered all the bases there. In verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. David confessed his sinful nature. You and I, all of us, was shapen in iniquity. From our mothers, as I had mentioned, we come forth speaking lies because of the iniquity, because of the fall of mankind. Verse 6, the Bible says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Where's the inward parts, folks? Huh? Folks, God deals with the heart. Let me say this. When you got saved, the Bible says you'll confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus and believe it in the heart, thou shalt be saved, right? Do you not think that God still deals with the heart when it comes down to confession of man? He wants to make sure, and I'll show you here in a little bit. If I don't get to anything else, I'll get to it. But that God deals with the heart, folks. God wants the heart, the brokenness of the heart that he deals with for a man or a woman to be able to confess those sins the way that they should be. But David's saying there in verse 6 that I know, God, I know your desires, truth and wisdom. I know that's what you want. And the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Folks, it's the truth of the Word of God. When God's Word abides in an individual, in us, wisdom also abides within us, because the Word of God is wisdom when you hide it in your heart. That's what David had said there at one time. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Let me tell you something. Let that be a reminder to you. Most of you here tonight, I know you. I know most of you has hid the word of God in your heart. Let this be a lesson, so to speak, so that you'll understand. Look at David, a man after God's own heart. God loved David, and David loved him. He had hid the word of God in his heart that hopefully he would not sin against God. There's not a one of us that's exempt Listen, if David fell from grace and fell and did what he did, there's not a one of you out there that this very same thing could not happen to. But David's telling us how he took care of it. And this is the main thing. You hear about David and Bathsheba and how all the awfulness of it, and how he sinned and how he murdered Uriah and all that. But you never hear a whole lot about how he confessed his sin and how he made it right. Listen, there'll always be sin in our lives, regardless of what we do or who we are. There'll be some type of sin. And if you don't think there is, then there's an altar open up down here anytime or all the time. But listen, it's the confessing of that sin and making it right between you and God as to what kind of standing you're going to end up having with Him. Verse 7, the Bible says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." David is confessing that God alone can only wash and cleanse him. That's what he's doing. Nobody else. Listen, I don't care how many times individual goes to the priest and he wears out those little beads there that he's got that's on those strings, and he runs them things around that string so long, so many times that he wears the hole out in those things. That priest can't help him. God and God alone is the only one that can forgive us of our sins, and that's the only way. But he says, "Purge me with hyssop." This also is referring to the ceremonial cleansing of lepers under the law. It's a very stringent thing is what he's talking about there. I heard Brother Tommy talk about it a little bit here a while back. But what they do is they'll take two birds, they'll take hyssop, they'll take a cedar board, they'll kill one of those birds, and the blood will go into running water. They'll collect that running water. And what they'll do is they'll sprinkle it on that leopard seven times. Seven times is, eight's new beginning. And then they'll release, they only kill one of those birds. And then after all of that, they'll release that last bird. But it's a very stringent thing. But that's what David is saying here. He said, "Purge me. Purge me. I need to be cleansed." It's the cleansing of the lepers is what he's talking about there. David desired more than forgiveness. He wanted to be purified from the disease that defiled him. And there was a disease there's a disease that defiles all of us as well on a daily basis. I like what Brother Tommy's often said, that we need to keep short accounts with the Lord. That means don't let your sins pile up. Don't let them collect, but on a daily basis or on a very frequent, often, as soon as they're committed, they need to be asked forgiveness for. Third thing is, David prayed for restoration and renewal. He wanted to be restored. David remembered where he used to be, how things used to be. Have you ever been to the point that you had to try to remember how things used to be? Maybe you got away from the Lord a little bit. Maybe things were just not right between you and God. That's where David was at. David remembered those things. I tell you, the mind is a wonderful thing, but it's a horrible thing at times as well. But the Bible says there in verse 8, the Bible says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." They're all sin. Listen, folks, all sin carries a horrendous price. All sin. It doesn't just affect you. It affects, like it did David. It affects so many people in your life, so many people that you've touched. Listen, old David there, they taunted and they mocked him after they realized that after it was said that he was a man after God's own heart. And then he sinned. Don't you know they took that thing and run with that and just taunted and, "Oh, the king, you know, and look goody-two-shoes and how he was and all of that." And they mocked and made fun of that. All of the enemies, and probably a lot of them that were not enemies. But it carries a very high price. For about 1 year, David carried a massive burden in his heart. Massive, massive burden. Talks about it there. David was crushed. David physically, emotionally, beneath the weight of his sin. Flip over to Psalms chapter 32 there. I'm going to read about two verses there, 3 and 4. The Bible says there in verse 3, "When I kept my silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah." And David is saying there, he said, when I kept my silence, I didn't confess my sin like I should have. He said, listen, said I was tormented. Said I was literally sick from my bones all the way to the inward and outward parts of my body. He said, I didn't have any good days. He said, I believe literally, David, when the sun rose, David cursed that day. I believe when the sun went down, because he knew he had that whole day of remembrance of what took place, it haunted him. And when the sun went down that night, I believe he cursed the night, because he lay there in anguish and heartache and torment because of what he had did. But only if he had done what he did here and confessed it a year earlier, he wouldn't have to go through this. Good lesson for you and I, not let sin linger. Listen, you don't have but one place to go. If you want to be miserable the rest of your life, just don't confess it. If you want to be short of joy and happiness, just leave it alone. Let it go where it wants to. It'll run you crazy is what it'll do. And that's almost what it did with David. Literally made him sick inside and out because of the sin he had committed. But God was continually upon him day and night. He had no place to go. I'm going to skip on down. Verse 11, the Bible says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteousness, and shout for joy, all ye that are unright in heart." David, some think that David said he wanted, that he didn't want to lose his salvation there in verse 11. Well, David couldn't have lost his salvation. There's no way he could have done that. But what he's saying, he didn't want to lose the blessings and the helps of the Holy Spirit. See, David, unlike most of the Old Testament saints, now, when this is over with tonight, if you can tell me someone else, I'd be glad to hear it. But as far as I know, David was the only Old Testament saint. Listen now. That the Holy Spirit of God indwelt him, just like he does me and you today. That was unusual for an Old Testament saint. Listen, when the Holy Spirit, when he was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, when Samuel anointed him in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, the Bible said, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil," which is a type of the Holy Spirit, okay, "and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward." Now, does that not sound like he was indwelt with the Holy Spirit? It said it came upon him, David, from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramoth. See, the thing was that David didn't want to lose the sweet Holy Spirit that you and I are so privileged to have on a daily basis. The one that leads, guides, and directs us in all paths of righteousness. Listen, where in the world would you be in hell if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit? The Bible said that Jesus said, "When I go away, I'll send you the Comforter. He'll lead, guide, and direct you in all paths of righteousness." Had it not been for the Comforter, for the sweet Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says unless the Holy Spirit of God draws an individual, they can't be saved. You are drawn by the Holy Spirit if you profess salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you got saved. Nothing apart from the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 12, and I've got to stop in just a moment. Bible says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Folks, I tell you, the joy of salvation, knowing that you're a child of the King, knowing that one of these days the Lord's coming back, you're going to take his children out of here. The joy of just having the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and the sweetness of it. And David was missing that. And he didn't want him to take that, but he was asking him, says, really to have his salvation restored, the joy of that salvation. You know, you can fall from grace, commit a sin or something like that, and lose that joy. And I tell you, it's a sad time until you get that back. Thirdly, the fourth part of this, David makes renewal commitments. If you look at the latter part of this, you can read that. David, for 1 year, I'll say this and I'll be finished. David, for 1 year, was not able to help anyone. Couldn't help anyone. Let me tell you something, folks. When there's sin in your life, you can't help yourself, much less anyone else. You can't do it. Just suppose there was your children, something happened to your children, and you had sin that separated you between you and God. And you needed to pray for that child. Intercede for them, that God would save them, take care of them, whatever. And you've got sin in your life. You can't do it. David wanted to make sure after this that he made a renewed commitments there in verse 13 through 17, that he made some promises, and you'll read those. He committed to the Lord that he'd be a better man. He'd take care of things. He'd pray for the house of Israel, and he would get back to where he needed to be. See, for 1 year, David was really not a king. He held the title of a king. He was really not a king, because he was God. God chose a man that was after his own heart, and after his own heart means of like-heartedness. David was not that for 1 year. David let his family go, let all of his friends go, let the children of Israel go. He couldn't pray for them. He couldn't do nothing for them. And he promised to build walls and restore and to do various things if God would just restore the joys of his salvation. Folks, been there a little bit, know what I'm talking about. It's not a good place to be. But you know, I'm so thankful. Just like David, we dwell on all the bad things. Just like David called upon the Lord. I do want to mention one other thing. You give me about 2 minutes, folks. Huh? Listen, this is how God deals with an individual, how you deal with him. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou will not despise or not turn away. David said, listen, as I had mentioned earlier, it's the heart, folks. It's the heart. You got saved by the heart. The confession has got to be made. David said, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That contrite spirit means it's a broken heart of sorrow, much anguish. That's how an individual, I believe many times we fall short. We say, Lord, forgive me. Just flippantly and go on. But David said it needed to be with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. In other words, just like you got saved, you had to mean it when you got saved. When you ask God to forgive you of your sin, you got to mean it. If you don't mean it, God's not gonna restore that relationship that you had. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the truths of God's word. Thank you for your love, your mercy. We do thank you, Lord, that you do, if we'll ask with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, that you'll forgive us. of our sins, restore us back to where we once were. Lord, you tell us you put our sins behind our back to remember them no more. Your back to remember them no more. Separate them as far as the east is from the west. And God, we thank you that you remember them no more. Lord, we thank you and we love you for being the good God that you are. We pray that you'd help us in our endeavors to serve you in the coming days now. In Jesus' name, amen.